14, and we are picking up in verse, I typed 17, but I meant 27. So, starting in verse 27 of Mark chapter 14, and let's please, as you are able, rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter told him, "Even if everyone else falls away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to him, "today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he kept insisting, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same thing. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." He went a little further, fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once again he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And again he came and found them sleeping, because they could not keep their eyes open. They did not know what to say to him. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the time has come. See, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture this morning. We thank you for this account of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we pray that we may learn from this today and apply these lessons to our life. And we ask that you would, in fact, just impress upon us what we need to do, and we ask that we would be transformed by the hearing of your word this morning. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So, a little background for those of you that may not have been here last week. We briefly looked at the Last Supper last week and picked up on the idea from what the disciples had said, that we are all prone to betraying Christ in some way. And so we pick up today here with what happened immediately after the Last Supper, which is they go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And I was watching a news thing. I was about half watching. Tammy watches the news much more than I do in the morning, but I hear it going on. And there was a article about a pilot who was suing an elevator company over those moving walkways. One at the Denver airport had been missing a plate, and his foot got caught in it. He got pretty badly injured. And honestly, that's one of my worst childhood fears ever. But, you know, every time I rode in an escalator, so I was very careful. About two steps from the top, I'm jumping off the end, trying not to get sucked down into the thing. But, I made the comment about, well, how is he not paying attention? Because I'm so freaked out by these things that I'm watching. at the beginning and the end particularly. And Tammy was like, well, how many things do you do every day that you don't pay attention to? Well, quite a bit. Any of y'all ever driven to work and not remembered how you got there? Yeah. So, I see these things, but a lot of time, I think that we, in our day-to-day, we kind of live in sort of a sleepy existence, if you will. We don't pay a lot of attention to a lot of things going around us. And in our sleepiness, we fail to do some things. And I think those things are kind of pointed out in this passage here. For instance, we fail, when we're sleepy, to provide comfort to people. When we're sleepy and just kind of sleepwalking through life, we fail to be strengthened, and we also fail to note the approach of the enemy. And we're going to touch on each of those things today. Now, we read in verse 34, he said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake. Now, as Jesus is coming into the garden, he leaves some of his disciples near the entrance, takes the three a little further on, and tells them to sit there and stay awake. You know, he tells them he's deeply grieved. And then he goes basically just a few more steps. They were close enough to have seen and heard what he was praying. But Jesus was, you know, we often remind ourselves that he is God, but he's also human. He had very human emotions and responses. Distress is a deeply human emotion. Facing what he was facing was a horrible thing. And he knew this. And we can tell that from his prayer, you know, if there is any other way, then take this away from me. But of course, there was no other way. But when we are very deeply grieved, sometimes we need people close to us, even if they're not there, you know, saying anything. And sometimes the worst thing you can do to somebody who is experiencing grief is to say something. Sometimes the only thing you can do is just be there, be with them in that moment. And that's what Jesus wanted from these, his three closest disciples. In his humanity, he wanted them to stay close, stay awake, watch, and pray. I mean, he told these three, Peter, James, and John, what he was feeling at that time. You know, they're experiencing a vulnerability from Jesus that, you know, few others would. And so they know what's going on with him. They know the suffering he's feeling at that time. And yet, they failed to stay awake to support him in his hour of grief. They were so caught up in their own tiredness, if you will, their own situations. I'm sure they were experiencing their own grief, thinking what was going to happen. But they just gave in to their need of sleep. But we do things in our sleep, too, that maybe aren't helpful, aren't really comforting to those around us. I remember I had a friend that used to always, you know, whenever somebody would say to him, you know, hey, would you pray for me about this? You know, he said he'd caught himself time and time again saying, yeah, sure, I'll pray for you, and then completely forgetting it. Has anybody ever done that besides me? Yeah, it's okay. I see the nods. Don't raise your hands. We've all done that, you know. But I have this one friend who was so, you know, felt so convicted about that that he said, you know what? I will do that right now. I'm right with you right here, right now. We will pray to them. And I was like, that's a neat practice. That's good. You know, sometimes we get in the habit of saying things, you know, I'll pray for you. And then 3 weeks later, they're like, my surgery didn't go the way that I expected. And you're like, I forgot about that. When we are in our sleepy little world, we forget not only to pray for those that need us, but we also forget to be there for those who need us. We get so busy that we don't take the time to spend time with those who need us. But if, on the converse side of things, if we are awake and praying, we can, in fact, be a source of strength to those around us. You know, I have heard it said several times from different sources that people send their prayer requests to us because they know we're a praying church. We will pray. And, you know, I have heard, you know, well, I have just felt that y'all are praying for me. I felt better knowing that it was being prayed for. We do this. That's something we do. We are providing strength and encouragement to people. If we are asleep, however, not only do we fail to provide strength to others, but then we also ourselves fail to be strengthened. Pay attention to verses 37 and 38 here. Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. By the way, that last sentence there, how many of you have ever heard that quoted completely out of context? You know, oh, I want to be there for you, but, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, I really want to not eat this whole chocolate cake, you know, and the spirit's willing, but it's not the context Jesus is talking about here, by the way. Context is important. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here, because what we are told is that he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Did y'all catch that? He called him Simon. Now, note the contrast between that and Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Peter is the rock, a rock of strength. That's why Jesus named Simon Peter. He was to be a rock of strength, but there in that hour in that garden, he was not a rock of strength. He was weak. Which is why Jesus then called him Simon, to remind him of who he had been. Hey, this is who you used to be. Now, We read in this passage as well, stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. Well, then we have to ask, well, what temptation does Jesus not want Peter to fall into? Well, we had a little bit about that, the first part of this passage, as they're walking to the garden, and Jesus is saying, all of y'all are going to fall away. You know, and it was foretold in the Old Testament, in Zechariah. You know, I will strike the sheep I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus knows every one of them, the 11 that are left, are going to hightail it out of there when the betrayer comes. And he's telling them this. Well, he has a reason for telling them this, and I don't know that it was to warn them not to flee. After all, they had to stay alive to continue the work of Christ. They had to stay alive to start the church. But he told them, I guess, so that they would know, hey, after all this, it's going to be good. But he's telling them this, and then there's Peter. And you know, one thing we know about Peter is he likes to speak before he thinks. And he says, even if everybody else takes off, I will be here with you. I won't leave you. Even if I have to die with you, I won't leave you. And Jesus reminds him, well, not reminds him, he tells him for the first time, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. He's like, you are not as strong as you think you are. Here's what's going to happen. So when he's telling him to stay awake and pray so that he will not enter into temptation, Peter should at that time be praying not to fall into the temptation of denying his Lord. By the way, that's a good prayer for all of us. Excuse me. They were all sure that they would not fall away. And by the way, you may notice there, you know, they all said the same thing. It wasn't just Peter being boastful and full of bravado. They all said this. Jesus had given them a warning, and they were failing to heed this one, because being warned that you're going to run away in panic or you're going to deny the Lord should give you pause, I would think. That should cause you to think, Lord, tell me how not to do this. They did not. They took naps. So, everybody, all of the disciples, Peter particularly, but all of them probably following along on this, all kind of had this bravado that you know, we won't do that. We won't deny you. We won't. They think they stand strong. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. Now, we often think about, you know, and we discuss it in church circles a lot, about, you know, relying on our own strength versus relying on God's strength. Jesus is reminding us here that in our own strength, we are weak. Our own human flesh can only do so much. Have any of y'all found the limitations of what your body can do? Have you found that those limitations are changing? Yeah. That happens to all of us. Sure, our spirit may be willing, but we are clothed in weak human flesh. Now, in Peter's sleep and in the other disciples' sleep, they missed their opportunity to be strengthened for the time of temptation that Jesus told them was coming. They missed that. We missed that too. We, in our sleepy day-to-day lives, when we're focused on what's around us instead of who's in front of us, we miss that opportunity to be strengthened for the temptations that will surely come our way. And in fact, in our sleepiness, we even miss the approach of the enemy, as these three did. Verse 41. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The time has come. See, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near." Now I'm sure that Judas and that mob were not quietly slinking out to this garden outside of town with their torches and their swords and clubs and all that. If these three had been awake and watchful, they would have pointed out the mob to Jesus instead of the other way around. Instead, he pointed out the betrayer to them. He's like, "By the way, here he is. He's coming. Yep, time's up. We're done. The time for you to comfort me is over. The time for you to be strengthened is over. The time for you to watch for the enemy is over because he's here." If we are awake and praying, we are aware of what is around us, and we become aware of the danger approaching us. If we are so busy being distracted all the time, we don't know the ways in which the enemy is about to attack. Much like the world does not know the enemy that is attacking them. If we are awake and praying, then we are much more keenly aware of the spiritual battle that is going on around us, the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We become aware of that. We become aware of the spiritual battle that those around us are facing. And when we are alert and praying and aware, then we are also more alert to opportunities to share the gospel with people. Because you know what? The gospel is good news. We know this, right? But before it's good news, it's bad news. And people don't recognize this. They don't recognize the situation that they're in. There is this weird kind of belief that is pretty predominant out there that everybody's basically good. You know, a lot of people believe, you know, that by default we're all bound for heaven unless we do something really bad. That's not the case. The bad news is that what? That's right. We are all born a sinner separated from God. That is bad. Everybody here has sinned, right? None of you were immune to that. We've all sinned. The first time we commit a sin, that's when we prove we're sinners. What's the worst news? That's right. Well, y'all are getting good at this. There is nothing we can do about it. Even if you stop sinning right now and never commit another sin, you can't make up for what you've already done. But what's the good news? Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He lived a life that was without sin. On the cross, he paid for our sin. His resurrection proves that payment to be true. He did that, not what we did, not what we can do, what he did. What's the best news of all? That's right. Salvation and eternal life are a free gift. You cannot earn it, but you can and must receive it. Let's be sure to share that with somebody this week. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have had to come together this morning and to be instructed to pray and be watchful. We know that the arrest of Jesus happened just as it was supposed to, but we also know that the disciples had been warned, and we know that we have been warned. And Father, we ask that you will give us the strength in this upcoming week to do those things that you would have us to do. And we ask that if there is anybody here with us today or watching online later who does not know Christ, we would ask that this would be the day they would come to know him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to go.